99 Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back 9 Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
And a good morning to you. Welcome to the show. The Back 9 Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Mizuno Golf. Reach beyond by Sea Palms Resort, where members practice their short game at the Miracle. By Bridgestone Golf, play the ball that fits you. And by RSM, proud sponsors of the RSM Classic, to help local charities right here in our communities. Today's show features John Sampianetti, CEO of Volition America. John will talk with us about his movement that involves the Folds of Honor Foundation. Then we'll talk with Stephen Harrison, president of Sick Putters. He will tell us about how difficult it was, if it was at all, fitting Bryson with a putter and why their putters are much better than the others. And then finally, Elliot Mello of Bridgestone Golf will describe his experience with Bryson on fitting a ball to his swing and their new ball, E12, and what's up with Tour B and Bridgestone Golf for the rest of this year and 2020. But first up is John Sampianetti, CEO of Volition America. Good morning, John, and welcome to the Back 9 Boys Golf Show.
Thanks for having me this morning.
It's a pleasure. So tell us about Volition America. I know we both have our shirts on, which is good.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about Volition America.
Well, Volition America is a brand that was inspired by the founder of Folds of Honor. His name's Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. And I was a donor. And he came to me and asked me, basically, first off, if I knew what Volition was. And I said, no. And he said, well, it's the power of choice. And he said, you know, I want to teach people what that means. Basically, that with your volition, you can be happy, sad, love, hate, but ultimately, the choices you make write the legacy of your life. I said, okay. And he said, I'd like you to help me start a business called Volition America, Choosing America. And a percentage of everything we sell goes back to the charity. And so I helped fund and kind of build the business model of Volition America. We started in 2016, and it's starting to take off and create quite a movement throughout golf and a few other sports. So that's the story behind Volition America.
Well, one of the things that I love as I was researching, as I came across the line, live a life that answers to positive individual choices, which I thought was great. And I think that's a big part of what you do.
Yeah, I mean, we're a brand that's celebrating the country and celebrating America. And one of the struggles has been as people have perceived it as a political brand, right or left. And it's not. It's really about inspiring people to make good choices. You could love your country no matter what your views are, and we all know what good choices are. So I laugh with people a lot of times, is, you know, when you're a little kid and you get sent out the door by your mom and she says, make good choices today. So we're trying to inspire people just to live a healthy life and come together and unify and be inclusive to our brand.
So what does the Folds of Honor Foundation mean to you?
Well, I had a very interesting experience back in 2013. I probably shouldn't share this with your viewers, but I'll be honest, is I went to a Folds of Honor event and I bid on a round of golf with Craig Stadler, not necessarily because I wanted to get back to the charity, but I wanted to play golf with the Walrus. and I don't know, it's pretty lame. But I ended up playing golf with Stadler, but on Memorial Day, and spent the weekend with the military and their families and really had a patriotic awakening.
Wow.
And realized for me, for Folds of Honor, is these people make tremendous sacrifices and they're not taken care of the way they should be. So I kind of walked out of there as my journey, my charity, and this should resonate with everybody. Why doesn't it? And help spread the word. And that's how I started.
Yeah, some of our listeners, and I'm sure they do know about it, but some may not know about the Folds of Honor. Explain a little bit about their mission, and we also know why you got involved, but explain their mission to our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, they use the term no one left behind, but ultimately the fallen and severely injured soldiers come home and their families aren't taken care of. And so Dan Rooney started this mission basically to help educate and take care of the family of our fallen. So they give scholarships to not just the kids, but the families. So the mothers or the fathers of the fallen soldiers also can get educated so that their legacy can go on and be healthy. And that Folds has embraced this. I think they've given $130 million of scholarships away.
Wow.
It's amazing. They have a very diverse, I think 40 or 45% minority. And so this charity is really unbelievable. It's a 5-star, gold star charity. So I've embraced it. And Dan Rooney, who some of my listeners have heard, I think is one of the great Americans, one of the most inspirational people that I've ever met.
And they've also built a golf course where all the proceeds go back to the Folds of Honor, or most of the proceeds go back. And they just played a PGA Tour event there.
I don't know what the tour event, but they got the they built American Dunes.
Yeah.
So the first golf course, their home base is in Owosso, Oklahoma, and it's called the Patriot Country Club or Golf Club, and that's where the Folds of Honor headquarters is, and it's a Robert Trent Jones golf course, and that started it. And then in 2018 or 19, Dan Roney partnered with Jack Nicklaus, and they took the original golf course where the first charity fundraiser was, and turned it into a golf course called the American Dunes. And Jack Nicklaus donated his time and money. And it's a Jack Nicklaus designed and inspired golf course, and it's all focused around the Folds of Honor. It's an amazing, I think, it's the most patriotic round of golf you're ever going to play in your life.
Have you had a chance to play the course?
I have not yet. I've been there. I've seen it. It's amazing. I'd recommend people, when they're driving through Michigan, stop and play a round of golf there. It's spectacular.
This time of year, it'd be wonderful to be in a little bit cooler weather.
Yeah, we've been on a hot streak, but here in Chicago, it's down to 70 degrees, so
that's
nice.
That's good. All right, so tell our listeners about the co-branding that you've done, and I know one of those has been that relates to golf is with Puma, which is obviously the shirt that I'm wearing, but you're also co-branding with a lot of other folks.
Yeah, well, you know, my day job is I own a couple of manufacturing companies that make automotive and medical parts, so I'm not a clothing person or branding person. I was asked by Dan Rooney to start this and build a clothing brand that would not only celebrate and choose America, but to give back to Folds. And Dan wanted to start he wanted me to make a hat, a t-shirt, jeans, and a belt buckle, which is, he's an Air Force pilot. So he wanted me to make a Tom Cruise Top Gun outfit. Huh. And I started doing a little research. And one of the things that kind of sent me in a different direction was, first off, jeans. I think if anybody knows jeans, there's skinny jeans, fat jeans, long jeans, and I'm thinking, how am I going to know what to buy in inventory? So I pivoted a little, and then Folds was so big in golf, we decided that we would start in golf. Okay. And the other thing that I realized is that golf is sold a large portion through pro shops. So I was trying to figure out who was going to drive around with the 40 polos store to store to store and sell Volition. And I realized at that point, I didn't know how to manufacture, I didn't know how to distribute, I didn't know how to inventory, so I need a partner. And so ultimately, we went in with a licensing model. We met a couple different brands, and the connection with Puma was instant. They got it. They loved it. And so in 2017, we started a partnership where they design and manufacture and help us sell Volition America, their exclusive partner in golf. And it's been an amazing journey with Gary Woodland winning the U.S. Open in our gear. And then in the last year and a half, we've partnered with Cobra Golf, Wilson, DeMarini Bats, Evo Shield, Revo Sunglasses. We just signed a deal last week with Luminox Watches. So what we're trying to do is bring large brand partners that have like-minded ideas together. So we're calling it a brand coalition, bringing all those audiences together and build a movement. And I said it earlier, of inclusion and unity. And you can have whatever view you want. It's about, this is what I stand for. So the logo means something to you. And if you look at the logo, it's the Folds of Honor logo with wings on it. So we're trying to lift it up and take it places.
And how does it feel inside to be able to do what you've done and build it from where you guys started to what it is today?
It is a little daunting because there's a long way to go, but it's also really humbling. I said this to a friend of mine back in 17, we started this. I said, when I see someone walk the other direction in my shirt that I have no idea, I said, that'll be amazing. And now we're in 1600 pro shops and it's popping up all over. You're wearing it today. Thank you. It's pretty cool and it's humbling and it's nice to do something that's inspiring people.
Yeah. So give us the website, John.
www.volitionamerica.com.
And you can find out all about the co-branding and what they can do, where you can find it. What's in the future for y'all? I mean, you've raised $130 million. You've now got a golf course that's also giving back. You're partnered with a lot of different companies. Where do you see it going? And you said we've got a long way to go. What do you mean by that?
Well, Volition America is a standalone unit from Folds of Honor. So Folds of Honor is doing really well. And then, that's the $130 million and all that. So the charity's thriving. Volition America is fairly new to the marketplace. We're just getting some bandwidth. But our our community's not as big as I want it to be yet. I want to start some event spaces. You know, one of the things that you may get a kick out of this, but we were talking about Unity back in 2016, back well before it was kind of in vogue. And I watched the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden every brand in America was talking about Stand United. And it's easy to take a buzzword or, you know, a catchphrase and throw it on your site for a few months. And it kind of bothered me that, okay, I'm doing the same thing. I'm just throwing words out there. So I'm hoping to see events coming that are Volition America, like we're working with right now. We've talked to a couple fishing groups about Volition Cup Fishing Series, where people, like-minded people, come together and spend the day and use their power of choice and having a great day celebrating America and giving back. We had some conversations with the USTA about Tennis Day. So we're going to try to do communities. We're talking to some folks about starting a Volition fund where people can invest in American companies.
Wow.
So it's really about building a community. And so the more like shows like this and today that we can get our word out and meet people, we're looking for, you know, obviously the consumers to come and join our movement, but we're also looking for brands to come and join our movement, bring their audience and be connected with other audiences.
And just build it and build it, as they say, build it and they will come.
Yeah, I mean, I said this to somebody. The day that we have Volition America as our Olympic outfits, that's the day that I feel like I've officially made it, that we're the brand that they think of when they think of America.
Yeah. Well, you've got 4 years to work on that, and who knows?
I got a long way to go.
So how was it playing golf? Let's back up a little bit with the Walrus.
I had a great day. I'm a little bit of a smart aleck on the golf course, so I think he was a little bit taken back by how he got stuck with me. But it's pretty amazing how good these guys are.
It's amazing to see, and they do it with little effort. I mean, it seems to me that they do it with little effort. It takes more effort on my part.
Well, we played the next year. I got to play with Nancy Lopez, and we were playing a scramble, and, you know, we all hit it all over the place. And then she would just walk up with the music playing, whatever, and throw it to 4 feet, and, like, it's amazing. But it's pretty fun, though. They're good people.
Yeah, it's a totally different game from their perspective than it is ours. We imagine and we vision maybe that 4 feet shot from the pin, and it ends up being 40 feet.
Yeah.
All right. John, thank you for taking time to be with us, explaining more about what you're doing. Congratulations. You've got my heart for doing it, and I hope to be able to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all your listeners and their support, too.
All right. John Saponetti with CEO Volition America, we appreciate you being with us. Next up on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show is Stephen Harrison of Sick Putters. We'll be back in just a minute.
Melnick, I used to play on the PGA Tour, spent 26 years in the broadcast end of it, and now I look forward to being on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. Steve.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles, and we are so glad that you are with us. Bryson DeChambeau, you may have heard of him, raves about Sick Golf and their putters, and it's helped him win PGA Tour events and a major. On the phone with us is Stephen Harrison of Sick Golf. Good morning, Stephen. Welcome to the show.
I used to play on the PGA Tour. Spent 26 years in the broadcast end of it.
All right, let me ask you this. How did you – sorry about that, technical. Yeah, the show is live, so it's live. Everything happens. So tell me about Sick Putters. It's been around for a while, but it's recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, when you and I met at the PGA show, you've had some momentum going. So tell us a little bit about Sick Golf.
Sick Golf is a patented technology on the face of a putter, descending loft technology. We did start in 2009. I started the company really as there was a void. I owned a golf shop. We had putting contests that were about 60 people one night in our golf shop, and the putter that I'd used, it had bulge and rolled through the face of the putter. It walked out of the shop that evening, and had a tournament the next day. And every putter from every manufacturer that I had on my wall in our own putter corral that night that I hit, I really just couldn't find one that had that sound to where it rolled, you know. And so I had a couple of cameras in that night, and I actually started recording putts and figured out that there was definitely a problem with launch. And from there, descending loft technology, we have 4 degrees aloft on the face of a putter. So if typically what the problem is that players can't return the putter from address back to impact with consistency. Average touring professional, it's about 20% of the time. So with our putter, if you de-loft the putter and you hit it higher on the face, we add the loft back for you. And vice versa, if you're adding loft to it, hitting lower on the face, we don't want you to have a higher launch angle. The better you can control the launch, the better your speed control is going to be.
And no one else is doing that.
No, well, now Cobra is because we because we have a partnership with Cobra, and they just at the beginning of June they launched a new line of their putters as well with our technology on the face. So it's been a great partnership so far.
So how did you come up with a name? I mean, a lot of people may know that, but some of our listeners may not.
Yes, it's actually, it was a young gentleman that worked for me, Kyle Hammond. He was yelling sick at me all the time. Oh, that was such a sick putt. That was so sick. And, you know, it just, it stuck for a little while. And then one day I was really doodling, and kinematics was what it was. We were looking at a study in kinematics of the way that the ball rolled, study of motion. So that's what SIK stands for, is a study in kinematics.
And kinematics is the study of motion.
You got it, or motion.
Right. And the sending loft technology, you were kind of just describing that from the 4 degree down to you hit it off the bottom of the blade, and it still provides you with the movement that you need to get your putts to the hole.
Yeah, exactly. And give you a consistent launch angle.
So in 2009, did you think here in 2021 you would be where you are now?
No, not a chance. I have no clue.
How special is it for you to see where it is today based on where you started in your own golf shop trying to hit putts that you didn't like? You didn't like the sound. You didn't like how they were moving. And just look at today and the people that are playing, the pros that are playing, and the amateurs that are playing your clubs.
Yeah, I never would have thought. You know, we started on the junior tours or mini tours. It was back then in 2009, it was the Hooters Golf Tour.
Right.
And you fast forward to today, that year we actually met Lonto Griffin, who, similar, you know, the stories, it's great to see, like you said, people that we have been around since the beginning. And to have him to be able to roll it and win with it on tour is just, that's an amazing story for us.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years in playing this game of golf that I didn't pick up until I was in my 40s, of course, I'm only 43 now, but here's, you know, the thing is driver, putter. To me, those are probably two of the most important clubs, and most of the time, the putter is the most important club in the bag.
You got it. You use it more than any other club in your bag every round.
And a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, they don't go through putter fittings, and they don't really... They go in and they buy something off the shelf, or they don't. But you guys custom make it, and tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, I mean, all of our putters are custom, if you will. They're all made in the United States. We mill them in St. Petersburg, Florida, and they're customized to each individual build. So, you know, if you don't know your specs, we're in Club Champion, PGA Superstore, Golf Galaxy. They all offer fittings now to where you can go in and get on some form of technology, find out what it is that the ball is doing or your stroke, and then get better fit to a putter.
And how long does it take to get a putter fitting? Probably less time than most people think of putting out a credit card to buy any putter that's on.
Some can take longer if they turn into instruction, which a lot of them do, but yeah, I mean, if you're just looking at length, loft, and lie, which a lot of people don't look at, it's a few minutes.
Okay.
Make sure that you're addressing the ball correctly. So, you know, it's just important to make sure the toe of the putter is not sticking way up in the air or the heel. We can identify these things with the technology that we use, how it affects the ball. So it really can improve your putting.
And how many people do you think are out there that do not have the correct putter for their game?
Wow. I mean, I couldn't even give you a percentage. I would say majority.
Pretty high.
Yeah, pretty high.
All right. Let me ask you this. How hard was it for y'all to work with Bryson DeChambeau, Mr. Mad Scientist?
Yeah, it wasn't hard at all, actually. I mean, contrary to that, it was exciting. And we learned a lot from one another. You know, the way that he embraces technology the same way we do, it was just a perfect match. And so we use the ball roll system. It records at high speed. It gives you, I don't know how many parameters, but more than anybody would want to look at for putting, that's for sure. And Bryson loved it. And it's really how it was that we, you know, ended up with not only the technology, but now we use it to fit players as well.
And prior to working with Bryson, were you using the arm lock, or did he help you kind of develop that line?
Yeah, the arm lock, he was the first person that we built an arm lock for.
Okay.
And it was, I don't even remember what year now. I think it was 2016 or 17. And we went through several putters. He came and saw us after the Honda in Orlando. We were at a studio there. We're now at Shingle Creek in Orlando. But he came, he spent the weekend with us. And I think we built 7 or 8 putters.
Wow.
And using that system, you could see where his inefficiencies were.
Hmm.
That would help.
Yeah, that opened up his eyes a little bit. Obviously, he's been successful. I know he's been working on a lot of things. But I got to ask you this. The other day, the media just went crazy over the fact that he said, the driver sucks. What would you have done, and I've heard this from a lot of other people, what would you have done representing Sick Golf if he would have said, my putter sucks?
I don't really know. Look, the reality of it is we all as golfers say things out of passion, I think. You know, you really want to do your best every time you play. I really don't think that's what he meant. I think,
right?
You know, I think he meant that his driving sucks. But he said, we have all said our putting sucks before. I mean, at one point in time, but I understand frustrations being a golfer myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just gets down to that point where whatever club you happen to have at that point, if it doesn't go where you think you want it to go or where you want it to go, you're going to say something. That's one excuse that you can do. But golfers, I think, are built for excuses. It's never them.
No.
All right. You said they're custom made to everybody. One of the things that I want to ask you is, from a length standpoint, is there, if someone is 5'10", is there a certain length they need to do, or does it matter how far they bend over when they putt?
I'm sorry, you brought the call. It skipped out.
When you're custom making a putter, how long does it take you to determine if somebody's 5'10", what size putter should they use?
Yeah, not really anything to do with height.
Okay.
Wrist to floor and how it is that they set up. A lot of times where the ball position is, and you can do it in a few minutes.
Okay. I was probably trying to make that more difficult than what it really was, but I always wondered, because whenever I've looked at folks on putters, I've just seen, 35, 34, 33, and they may not even know why they have that length of a putter.
Right. Yeah, and it really, when you set up to it the first time, If the toe is up off of the ground, you can try a shorter putter.
Right.
That's a quick fix for a lie adjustment. But, going and seeing any of the guys, like I said, at one of the fitting facilities, they're all listed on our website. I mean, if you don't go in for one of the extensive fittings, you can have a length loft and lie done in a few minutes.
Okay. And give us the website. And can you do it up on your website?
You can order specifically. We don't really have a way to fit, but you can talk to any of our guys at the shop where they're on the phone most of the day. Every one of the guys or girls that work with us are experienced golfers as well, and so be able to help you out with that. SIKGolf.com or SIKPutters.com, either one
works. I can't thank you enough, Stephen. Thank you. It was good to see you after a couple of years, and hopefully we'll see you at the PGA show in January.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
We are too. Thank you very much. Stephen Harrison with Sick Golf or Sick Putters. Go to either one of their websites and check it out. Our next guest is coming up, and it's Elliot Mello of Bridgestone Golf. And we'll be back with Elliot to talk about golf balls, always important when you're playing, right after this on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Webb Simpson, PGA Tour. You're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. I'm glad you're with us. The Back Nine Boys has always had a long relationship with Bridgestone Golf, which we appreciate. And our next guest is Elliot Mello of Bridgestone. Morning, Elliot. How are you?
Doing great. How's it going this morning?
It is going great. Hopefully going to get out on the golf course the next day or two. How about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's a little toasty out there today in Georgia. Got a morning tea time tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to getting out there.
All right. Bridgestone has had a couple of great years. Tell us a little bit about the success, and are you surprised by the Tour B brand and how it's taken off?
Yeah, so we're from an R&D focus, we're really invested in a concept called contact science, which is optimizing the moment of impact for the unique needs of each shot. So instead of just making the ball longer or just making the ball spin more, whatever it might be, we're really trying to optimize every club, every shot in the bag. We've been down this focus of contact science for a few years now. And if you flash back to January of 2020, we introduced the Tour B product with the reactive urethane cover, which was essentially taking the traditional urethane that all the tour balls use, and we added some impact modifiers to it. And with the impact modifiers, that just made it faster off the driver, and then it made it stay on the face longer with an iron or a wedge, so it spun more on the short game shots. So that was round one of contact science, and it really resonated well with consumers. Historically, you would make a manipulation that would either provide more control or more distance. There was a give or take. And through our new technology, Reactive, last year, we were able to decouple the relationship of spin and distance and thus provide improvements in both areas. So that really resonated well with consumers. And then right in the coattails of that, we had our round two of contact science this year in the form of the E12 contact golf ball. And what it is it's a dimple modification, a structural modification to the golf ball. That provides 38% more contact and impact. And what that does off the driver is it provides more energy transfer to the core to a faster moving golf ball. But then on an iron or wedge, the 38% more contact provided more friction, which provides more spin, more control on the approach shots. So we're really coming off of two very solid back-to-back product introductions that resonate well with the consumer, that resonate well with the retailer in terms of gaining us great shelf space, great display. A lot of great momentum happening within the Bridgestone brand.
And as far as missing the PGA show this year, hopefully there's going to be one in 2022. Will you all attend?
Yeah, we're big fans of the PGA show. This year there wasn't an in-person one. There was a virtual PGA show. We participated in the virtual PGA show. I think we might have been one of the only major OEMs that made it through the entire week of the virtual PGA show. We had a great time doing video chats just like this during the virtual show this year. And we're definitely looking back to getting in the convention center in Orlando, getting out on the driving range for demo day in Orlando, and showing you what we have up our sleeve in the form of a new golf ball for 2022. It's a very exciting product that we have. It's a product that that all of our tour pros have been involved with in varying levels. And we can't wait to show it to you.
Well, I can't wait to see it and see how it does. How much, this is a question. I know the R&D that you have now was 2 to 3 years in the making. How much more can R&D do with the golf ball?
Quite honestly, our R&D team, they're in constant development. We have globally, Bridgestone, we're the leaders in consumer rubber goods. So globally, we have over 900 polymer engineers, rubber engineers, and we have over 800 patents as it relates to the golf ball, both the construction of the ball as well as the manufacturing of the golf ball. And so you combined all that with the feedback that we're able to get from the likes of Bryson DeChambeau and Tiger Woods, and it's really a recipe for success. And those guys, they provide feedback above and beyond what we're able to capture with a robot in terms of feels and FaceTime and stuff like that, dwell time. And so when we're working with them, it's not just the process of designing the best ball for Bryson or Tiger. They're providing feedback that ultimately impacts basically all of our golf balls, quite honestly. That's exciting to us. And, you know, your point to how long does it take to design a golf ball, when we're in this mode of constant improvement, we're working towards technologies in some cases that may be 6, 7, 8, 10 years out. We're working towards technologies that in some times are beyond what we're actually capable of manufacturing. So we'll come up with something that from a performance standpoint checks the box, and then we have to reverse engineer and figure out how can we put this on an assembly line and produce it in mass scale. For example, I can't do a deep dive on it right now, but the technology that we have coming out in January of 2022 is essentially 6 years of the making.
Wow. It just, I mean, it's mind-blowing to me that you can take something from 6 years ago and then come out with a product, and it's just, how is it going to perform better than what you have now?
What time does for you, Rich, is it allows refinement. It allows better perfection of what we're trying to do. So we come up with an idea and we kind of do a proof of concept, if you will, and we hit it on the robot, maybe we show it to one of the players, and then as we get that feedback from the players and that data from the robot, we can do more iterations of it and kind of chisel down and better fine tune it. So that's really what time does, is as time goes on, things get better.
How was it working with Bryson and Tiger, two completely different golfers, but two golfers who are very much involved in not only the equipment, but the ball that they use? How was it working with both of them?
Yeah, it's interesting. They're both very in tune with how the product performs. Bryson is more vocally a tech guy than Tiger is, but behind closed doors, they're both very technical individuals. So Tiger is very much spin, feel, short game oriented. But then at the same time, he's also very much, he knows that the ball needs to be in a certain, what he calls window. He knows the ball needs to have a certain trajectory, a certain look to it in terms of performance on the longer shots. So that's kind of how Tiger approaches things, is kind of old school feel oriented. Feel around the green, feel in terms of, does it feel visually like it's in the right place in the sky when he looks up after he hits it? And then Bryson, on the other hand, is constantly calculating, as you might imagine. So we'll show a product to Bryson and he'll hit it and he'll say, that's not going to work. But he'll say, if I made this change to the driver or this change to the shaft or this change to the swing, this is the perfect golf ball. So Bryson looks at it very holistically in terms of, it may not work for my game today. However, I got these two or three other things I'm working on, and as those things fall in place, this is going to be the perfect ball for me. So kind of two completely different approaches. But ultimately, the way that they provide feedback to us, it allows us to make tweaks that go into balls like the RX or the RXS that they don't necessarily play, but their feedback is ultimately impacting the whole line.
So you get the info from them based on how they feel when they're swinging, how the ball flight is, and then you take it back with your information from them to R&D, and then you kind of make some tweaks?
Yeah, well, we're working in conjunction with R&D with them. So there'll be instances where we send them product, and they hit it on their own, and they send us launch monitor numbers. And then there's also instances where we're going to them. We're going to see Bryson in Dallas. We're going to Jupiter to see Tiger. And we got the full R&D team there. It's a full day work session, multi-day work session in some cases. And it's a constant gathering of data. Typically what we're doing, Rich, is we got multiple different prototypes with slight tweaks. So not major tweaks. And if we're looking at a core or a mantle or a cover, whatever it might be, there might be 2, 3, 4 iterations of whatever that technology is. And it's very much like the experience of going to the eye doctor, A or B, B or C. And those are the kind of comparisons that we're making.
Okay. Let's jump back to the E12. How has the new E12 been accepted so far?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, it has the contact force dimple that I mentioned earlier, the dimple with the raised portion in the center that creates 38% more contact and impact. And it's a it's a visual technology that golfers can see, feel, touch. So it's very tangible. It's not pixie dust that you have to hope that it's actually in there, you know, but it's actually truly is a technology that the golfer can, that resonates with the golfer. And as such, you know, at our larger retailers that we get constant data from, it's our number one selling golf ball, number two selling golf ball, basically every major retailer. And I think it's because I think what happens is, quite honestly, is the visual technology gets the golfer to try it the first time. And then the performance on the course backs up what we're saying in terms of the fact that this is a golf ball that delivers forgiveness and delivers straight distance off the tee. So the golfers try it because they can see the technology and then they stick with it because it performs as advertised.
One of our listeners wanted me to ask, what is selling more, the white ball or the yellow ball?
Yeah, that's a good question. And basically every golf ball we have from Tour B down to E6 and Lady, the white ball is predominantly the best-selling model. Okay. The color golf balls are 10 to 20% of the business, depending on which model you look at. Okay. The white is predominantly the star of the show.
And I've also noticed that Freddie plays the yellow one.
Correct. Freddie's been playing the yellow RXS for a couple years now. So it's an interesting story. For years, we asked Fred if he would play a yellow golf ball, just because it would draw attention, right? And people would say, why is Fred playing the yellow ball? So we were at the Bridgestone Senior Players a couple of years ago, and we had the tour van out there, and we had all the different golf balls, and Fred said, you know what, let me give that yellow one a try. And so he gave it a go, and now here we are. We've gotten to the point that he's requesting yellow prototypes even. He won't even hit a white golf ball anymore. So he's gone full circle, and he's really liking the yellow ball.
That's interesting. Elliot, we got to take a break. You know how that is. We'll be back with Elliot Mello, Bridgestone Golf, right after this on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
This is Scott Wolfis on the web.com tour. We're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. We're with Elliot Mello of Bridgestone Golf. And Elliot, we were talking earlier about Freddie using the yellow ball. What's it like? You've got a great group of guys playing your ball, and I'm sure ladies on the LPGA Tour and some of the other tours that are out there. But, I mean, working with Tiger, Bryson, Freddie, and Matt, I mean, Matt's been using your stuff for a long time.
Interesting. So, you know, you talk about guys like Tiger and Bryson, and you know, their deals, their endorsements at Bridgestone are structured in a way that they're actually an extension of the R&D team, and that's kind of worked into their actual contract with us. So I think that speaks volumes to the kind of guys that we have. Is they don't just want to get a paycheck from Bridgestone; they want to be involved in helping Bridgestone succeed and helping make better product for not only them but better product for the consumers also.
And as far as Freddie and Matt, I mean, Matt has been with you guys for such a long time.
Yeah, the relationship with Matt Kuchar has been great. You know, he's playing basically a whole bag of Bridgestone. He's got a bunch of clubs in there from us. He wears the B on the hat on his shirt. He's got their glove in play as well as the golf ball, obviously. And so we're very thrilled to have Matt Kuchar as part of the brand. He's a great ambassador for the game. Always friendly when he's out there. Great smile and face on tour. And then Fred Couples, what more can you say? He's probably the coolest cat playing professional golf.
He really is. We met him at an opening at Sanctuary Cove down here, and he was just so laid back and just, you know, I happened to call my son, and he said, who are you talking to? And I said, I'm talking to my son. And he says, where does he live? And I told him Wilmington. And he said, let me talk to him. And he got on the phone and he said, have you played my golf course? Da 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 da. And my son said no. And he said, all right, goodbye. He was just so laid back, but so good. And he's been great for you guys. What have you heard about Tiger's recovery, Elliot?
Honestly, Rich, we're in the same boat as you. You know, we get information, the same information you get. We get it a little bit earlier than the public and the media get
right.
It. But no inside information, so to speak. But we're looking forward to Tiger getting back into walking. We're looking forward to Tiger getting back to playing with his kids and his family and taking it day by day, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. So what's ahead for Bridgestone for the rest of this year and then getting ready for 2022? You said there's going to be a big deal coming up for the PGA Show coming out in January with Tour B. What else is coming up for 2021 for the rest of this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we've got some there'll be some news kind of as players put the new Tour B product in play in the fall. You'll see some news about the prototype balls going in play on the PGA Tour. We're doing an event. We got more information coming out to the public, but we're doing an event in September with consumers around the new Tour B product and kind of an early preview of it. And then it's kind of all eyes on the PGA Show.
And that is just going to be, I mean, I can't wait till it's face-to-face. I mean, I know we all missed it in January, but we got through it. And coming back, I'm sure there's going to be some changes. Have you heard of any major changes from the previous PGA shows?
No, nothing that I can share. We do have a proposal for them from the PGA Show, so they're actively starting to put the show together. So we do have a proposal from them. And from what I can tell, there's still a demo day. There's still an in the convention center portion. And we're looking forward to it as well.
All right. I talked to Stephen Harrison from Sick Putters about Bryson's comment when he said his driver sucks. What if he would have said that about your golf ball? How would y'all have reacted? And I know, you know, they're very in a competitive mode at that point, and they say things they probably regret later. But just off the cuff, what would you have done or what would you have said besides, I wish he wouldn't have said that?
Well, I guess my first comment is he didn't say the ball sucks, so that's a positive.
That's true.
I honestly kind of took it as, you know, he said driver, but I honestly just kind of personally took it as his driving sucked, not necessarily a specific club or a specific brand.
Right.
And that's kind of how I took it. And then I think the echo chamber that is sometimes the golf world and Twitter kind of took it to a different level. But I kind of took it as specifically getting off the tee was an issue for him. And I think we've all kind of been there.
Yeah. Social media does expand things, and we get a lot more comments than we might normally not get. So bottom line, Elliot, how's your game?
It's inconsistent, as you might imagine.
Mine is too.
Through everything that's been going on the last year with some work from homes and remote, without commuting, I have more time to play golf. So it's been good playing some rounds after work. And, my wife started playing the game. So we're playing couples golf on Wednesday nights. And, it's been good.
All right. Any news that you can release, or are you guys looking into any new clubs for Bridgestone?
That's a good question. So our club business is constantly improving in the Asian market. Quite honestly, with everything that's happening from a shipping standpoint, it's difficult to get things that aren't made in the USA currently for us. So that's not just clubs, but even our accessory business. So we continue to focus on golf balls made in the Covington, Georgia facility. And we continue to look at clubs, but there's no news, so to speak, that we can share at this time.
Got it. Elliot, always a pleasure to talk to you. Hope to see you soon. If not September, we'll see you in January. But you have a great day, and good luck on Wednesday couples golf.
Thank you. Sounds good. We'll see you soon.
All right. Elliot Mello, Bridgestone Golf, one of our guests. We also want to thank John Sapieni, the CEO of Volition America, and also Stephen Harrison of Sick Putters for being with us on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, heard live here every Saturday, 8 to 9. And then we also are on Sunday from 8 to 9 on ESPN Coastal. Check with us, see what's going on in the game of golf. Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.